Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Call into us today for your flu and COVID vaccines at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So it's budget day, and with increases in renters' tax credits, energy credits, social welfare lump sum payments, childcare cost reductions and a cut to USC, there seems to be something for everyone on the way when it's announced this afternoon. Well, I'm joined in the studio now by Ciara Phelan, Deputy Political Editor with the Irish Examiner, Gary Murphy, Professor of Politics at DCU, Tom Lyons from The Currency, and Olive O'Donoghue, Employment Tax Partner at KPMG. But to get a sense of what some people are looking for in the budget, Brian O'Connell was in Cork City Centre for us and began by speaking to a taxi driver in Parnell Place.
I'm hoping that they've capped themselves on, because everything is money, so we want to get something back from it. They should look after the pensioners. I paid into it all my life. Why shouldn't I get something back?
I heard a thing on the radio this morning where if you walk around, a pensioner's living on €6 an hour.
Will you be celebrating when the budget is announced, do you think?
Not a hope.
What are you hoping for in the budget?
I'm self-employed, so I have a child. A child this year is doing a leaving certificate. So cost of school books. And measures also, just things like mortgage relief. Our mortgage has increased. We're on a variable rate mortgage, and that's increased over the last couple of months. So mortgage relief as well. There are lots of costs at the moment. Even people, if you're making a decent enough living, you're still hard-pressed to make ends meet.
Liam Mullaney here from Mayo Cafe on Pope's Quay.
Tell me what you're looking for in the budget.
I mean, we're open 7 days a week here. We have 7-8 staff now. I've always prided myself on never paying minimum wage here, always trying to pay them a living wage. Since the VAT rate went up, it's made things very, very difficult.
So you're looking for something on the VAT rate?
They need to start looking at it again, especially if the staff costs are going to go up.
It's hard with any budget to keep everyone happy.
I think this giveaway idea, forget about it, lads. I know there's a budget or an election coming up, but really be smart, because globally things are very, very dicey.
So what would you be hoping for?
More guards in the area, because around here, we have youngsters that are not living here or on this particular street, but they're kicking our doors every night.
So you'll be looking for more funding for the Gardaí?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Anything else now that Minister Michael McGrath could give to you?
What else would I like? Maybe a trip to Tenerife now and again or something.
What would you hope for in the budget?
There's another war after breaking out now, and the oil prices are going up again. If they put up fuel, everything else will go up.
Would you be worried about heating bills, for example, this winter?
I do. I worried last year, but I just cut back, turned down the thermostat.
And what about an energy credit like we had last year? It seems that's pretty certain now.
It'd be a hell better. I'm unemployed now at the moment, but I'm a single parent.
In terms of social welfare rates, given that you're unemployed, you'd be expecting an increase?
As far as I know, it's between 12 and 15 euro.
What do you think of that?
Well, it's better than the usual 5 to give us anyway. But as I said, I'm a single parent. It doesn't go that far, you know.
Okay, so your message to Michael McGrath, the Minister for Finance, would be?
Show me the money.
Show me the money, Ciara Phelan, we'll start with you. Is that what Michael McGrath is going to do today?
Yeah, absolutely. I think exactly what you've heard in the Fox Pop there, all the things that were mentioned, there's definitely going to be something for everybody in this budget. Michael McGrath, obviously, he's going to announce a major budget in terms of core spending, 5.3 billion, tax package worth 1.1 billion, cost of living measures, 2.7 billion, that is lower than last year, 4 billion in non-core spending measures and the likes of Ukraine and legacy issues. But we are going to see, you know, changes to the income tax bans, measures for renters, for landlords, childcare, employers, businesses, small and medium enterprises, students. So all around there's going to be major...
How does the spending compare to last year? Because I see there's a little bit of debate around this, whether they're actually going to spend more this year.
Yeah, it all have to be seen what is going to be revealed later on, but it is going to top up. Like last year, the budget was its 11 billion package. It seems like it is close to that again. But, you know, the ministers have been trying to be cautious in the last couple of weeks in terms of, you know, also playing to the tune of all the fiscal advisory body that came out and said, you know, don't spike inflation. We saw the measures, the warnings from the ERSI. So it'd be interesting to see exactly what is unveiled later today.
Mm-hmm. It's striking that balance, Gary, isn't it? You know, being careful and being the Fianna Fáil minister who knows how to watch the pennies. And yet, it's sort of an election budget, isn't it?
Well, yeah, Michael McGrath becomes the first Fianna Fáil minister since the late Brian Lenihan to give a budget speech. And we remember Brian Lenihan was always a great man for talking about turning corners during the Great Depression that we suffered through in the 2008-11 period. So it is an important day for Mr. McGrath, certainly. But I mean, I'm not remotely convinced that this is going to have any effect on the fortunes of Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael for that matter. And I simply go back to the last three budgets. Ciarán mentioned 11 billion last year. I think it's at least 10.5 this year. I remember the first year after COVID, Pascal Donoghue, it was something in the region of 14 billion with COVID spending. And where are Fine Gael in the polls? They're at 18%. Where are Fianna Fáil? Much the same. Sinn Féin in opposition are at the early 30s. You go back to 2019, Clare. Pascal Donoghue gave a budget in October. This was supposed to be a so-called election budget. Mm-hmm. What happened the following month? Fine Gael lost four by-elections in the one day, which precedented the disaster of February 2020. And I'm just not convinced, even listening to that vox pop from my native Cork, that people are willing to change.
So what are you saying?
Vote?
That they could double it? They could spend 20 billion, wouldn't make any difference?
I for one, wouldn't be terribly convinced that it would make a huge difference, because I mean, it's a reactionary budget, as most budgets are now. They're like technocratic incrementalism. As one of the Vox Pop people said, a few euro here, a few euro there. I mean, Roger Gorman seems to have done very well in the reduction of childcare fees, which is a huge issue for a vast swathe of voters. And it's not to say all voters have their minds made up, of course not. But I'm not convinced that this idea of an election budget really means anything anymore.
Okay, I want to just focus on business for a moment, Tom, because we hear about this minimum wage increase, which is coming down the tracks. And then alongside that, we have a package, we're told, for businesses, I suppose, to counteract maybe the impact of the minimum wage increase.
Yeah, well, they're saying the minimum wage is going to go to €12.70. So that's, it's up about €1.40 an hour. Not a huge amount of money when you consider the cost of living and trying to pay for rent or trying to pay for your mortgage. But if you think about the number of SMEs that are on the edge at the moment, who may have large amounts of tax warehoused from the COVID-19 period, who are facing higher energy costs, who are finding it very, very difficult to find employees. You know, the government is saying that there's, or certainly the leaks are all saying that there's going to be commercial rates handed back, about half of them. There's going to be a €250 million package there. So that is something for SMEs. But I do think we are going to see the impact of this on the average SME, that they're maybe going to decide, look, I'm not going to open 7 days a week anymore. I can't afford it. Or some of them may decide, well, that's it. I'm just going to close down. And start again or right. Get out of this business and get a job.
And is there any detail on what the support package might be?
Well, that's, they're saying that there's these, this commercial rates package, and they're also saying that there's going to be energy packages. And we are hearing stuff around, you know, that which will help people who run SMEs or elsewhere around how much tax they're paying. So there will be some support packages, but I do think that SMEs are under a lot of pressure at the mm-hmm. moment, particularly in certain sectors, particularly in the hospitality sector, where we haven't seen people return to the pub to the same extent. Maybe that's a good thing from a health perspective, but from a business perspective, that's tough. And you're seeing, you know, restaurants, you know, really struggling, you know, particularly in the city centre, you know, they're struggling at days that they would have been good. People's you know, working patterns have changed. There's a lot of change coming.
Are you saying, in what now looks as though it will be a giveaway budget, that this is a potential red flag for government? And maybe they've recognised that because they have told us in advance about this assistance package for small business.
Yeah, well, I think they're trying to get a balance there, because mm-hmm. they can see, you know, for all of the sympathy for SMEs, there also has to be a huge amount of sympathy for anyone who is trying to live in Ireland on the minimum wage. You know, even at, you know, €1.40 an hour. Like, that's not a lot of money.
And previous budgets have done exactly the same. There have been support packages. I mean, who here are listening could tell us exactly what was in last year's budget? But we have an instinctive feeling that there was support for SMEs, and there was a little tinkering with social welfare rates increasing and unemployment assistance. But it's a muchness, and that's what I mean by reaction. And I'm just not convinced, and then politically, this will have any significant effect, although Tom is right in relation to every little helps, clearly.
Okay, well, let's
SMEs and for all sectors of society.
Well, let's talk about the other little extras that might be in there, Olive, for employees, because you could call this a giveaway budget. You could also call it the tax break budget. What are you hearing about what's in there?
Yeah, so Claire, the 1.1 billion tax package is broadly in line with last year, and we would expect kind of most of the spend to go mainly around income tax measures and USC cuts. So we expect a 2,000 euro increase in the standard rate band for everyone, and that'll be a kind of 400 euro net saving. For individuals. On the USC front, then, we expect an increase in the band at which people pay the 2% to ensure that those that are increased to the new minimum wage won't be brought into the higher 4.5% rate. And then on that 4.5% rate, we expect that to come down to 4%. And that's certainly welcome, right? When you look at the fact that of all kind of taxpayers, 35% of taxpayers, the top rate of USC for those individuals is 4.5%. So that will have a good impact. We're also seeing a 100 euro increase in the personal tax credits and the PAYE tax credits. So when you take all of those personal tax measures in the main, you're looking at someone on an average wage of about 45,000 euro coming out about 760 euro better off. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, another example being someone on 75,000 euro being about 890 euro better off. Now, that's before any of the other measures around kind of rent or mortgage. But certainly, you know, broadly kind of similar increases on last year.
Okay, so let's talk about those other measures then. If you are a mortgage holder or if you are a renter, there's something in likely to be something in there for you as well.
That's it. So in terms of the rent credit, Claire, that was kind of brought in last year. So we expect that to be increased to either kind of 750 or 800 from 500.
This is the one that only 50% of renters claimed.
That's it, based on the latest stats. Now, I think, you know, we still have the numbers are very, very down for claims for 2023. But we probably have to remember that the 2023 tax return filing deadline has not yet passed. So I think to really see what the uptake has been there, we probably need to wait till kind of November time
because it will be interesting to see whether the system around claiming that will change, because people have pointed up that it's very difficult and all of the onus is on the tenant to get all of the details about the landlord in order to make the claim. So we'll keep an eye on that one.
Absolutely.
And then on the mortgage front, not every mortgage holder, but people with variable and people with trackers.
That's it. Yeah. So it's looking likely that it'll be a 20% credit based on your kind of increase in mortgage interest repayments between 2022 and 2023. As you say, variable and tracker mortgages only. We do expect some conditionality around the principal private residence and having to have an outstanding mortgage of between 80,000 euro and 500,000 euro at the end of 2022. So again, there will be some conditions there to limit the application.
And do we know if Revenue will be administering that?
That will be Revenue administered.
Not the banks?
Not the banks, okay. No. So there was definitely an apparent reluctance to go back to the bank. So it will be an application process to Revenue, and I understand there will be a requirement to submit the last 2 years of mortgage statements to support the claim.
Mm-hmm. Tom, on landlords, so there's a really careful balance here that from what I read is going to be struck, whereby the tax break given to landlords can't exceed what the renters are getting back in the tax credit.
Yeah, this is like quite a controversial one. You know, they're saying that it's going to be between 600 and a thousand euros, and this is to try and encourage, you know, small landlords to stay in the market.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I think that, you know, a lot of landlords are struggling, but I also think that the people who are in the rental market are struggling a lot more, and that this is clearly something that they're this spray and play approach, which we're trying to make everybody happy. They've clearly figured out there's a lot of landlords that try and keep them happy, but if it was me, I'd be more focused on the tenants and the people trying to get into the property market and own their own homes. But clearly, they've picked this as something that they think that there's going to be, you know, there's political capital in, and that there is some landlords who are under pressure, who are, or find themselves in situations where people aren't paying them. But they do have the option of selling the property.
Mm-hmm. They have an asset sitting there.
You know, they have an asset sitting there, and they also presumably have their own homes.
Yeah, Ciara, what do you make of that one?
I think that landlords will be disappointed, to be honest with you. I think they expected to get a lot more from this budget because we've been hearing for so many months now that this government was going to do a lot to help small landlords stay in the market because supply is at an all-time low. You know, it was kind of mooted, the rent room, 14,000 tax relief may have been formed part of this budget. But essentially, the measure that they've brought in is going to see them benefit between 6 and 1,000 euro, depending on how long they actually stay in the market. So I'm not sure, is it going to be a major incentive to actually keep small landlords in the market when they'll have the chance to essentially, you know, sell the property on the market at inflated prices as we've seen now? Okay. I think this is something that the government will probably take a battering in the Dáil about later on today.
All of you are there agreeing with that, I see.
Yeah, look, you know, I think any measure to help the landlords is welcome, right? But, you know, certainly from a tax policy perspective, you know, in KPMG, we would have been also kind of seeking additional measures to improve the position for landlords, you know, taking on board Tom's point about, you know, the need to help the tenants. But ultimately, you know, if we don't have the rental properties there and the stock of rental properties, you know, it's not going to help the tenants either. So we would have been hoping for more, you know, in terms of, you know, a broader reform of how landlords are taxed, a simplification of how they're taxed, because, you know, ultimately, it's just all too complex for them, mm-hmm. right? These are small, medium.
So landlords aren't happy, renters aren't happy. And I think this is the problem in a government which does have significant amounts of money to spend and has ever since in COVID. Like, we live in a world, in a kind of a post-Keynesian world where, you know, governments can borrow relatively cheaply and have vast amounts of money to spend. And then at the end of the day, still nobody is happy. And what's happening to this government? And the Fine Gael have been in power, let's remember, since 2011. So the Pascal Donoghue, Michael Noonan before that, and now this duopoly of McGrath and Donoghue, and, you know, politically it's still, they're just kind of going around in ever decreasing circles.
Yeah, I see this morning the Green Party saying that they've secured government agreement to create a €3 billion war chest to invest in climate and nature projects over the remainder of the decade. Will the Greens, though, Gary, be lost here in all of this?
Potentially they could be. But I mean, the Greens have had some significant successes, I think, in government. And while they take a lot of brickbats and there's a lot of heat put on them, I mean, in one way, the emphasis put on carbon neutral green taxes and now this fund would give me some confidence if I was a Green TD saying, you know, if you vote Green, we will get things done. But I look at the constituencies, I look at my own constituency of Dublin West, and I see the Minister for Children, Roderick O'Gorman, and I would say, who I know well and actually higher than DCU, but I mean, I think his seat is at grave peril. And then I look at all the constituencies and you see them at 5% in the polls, and 5% in the polls are the same at the Labour Party or the Social Democrats. It gives you a chance in targeted constituencies, but it doesn't give you much more mm-hmm. than that. And particularly if there is an anti-government sort of wave and people say, well, Sinn Féin at 35%, I think I'll give them a shot. Right. And that is the big danger for the government.
So no bounce for the Greens, despite the fact that commitment on the childcare costs looks as though they're going to meet that.
Yeah,
now.
That is a very significant, I think, win for Minister O'Gorman and for the Green Party. Now, the trouble also in a coalition government is, of course, you have three heads all looking to claim some credit and all fighting against each other in our multi-seat constituencies. So, I mean, count me somewhat sceptical that this is going to have any significant impact politically.
Yeah, it's all about how they're going to sell this. Like, you know, you mentioned the Green Party with the 3 million climate war chest, but you also have
to take...
$3 billion,
yeah.
You have to take into account...
It is a significant amount of money,
Michael McGrath is obviously going to set up this fund, long-term fund for infrastructure and possibly deposit about €15 billion into this. So it depends on how they're going to sell this to the electorate in terms of, look what we've planned for the future for your kids. The same as the Green Party, how they secured the cut in childcare costs. And I mean, the PR drive is already on its way this morning. I see Fine Gael absolutely dishing out social media videos, in particular one video that was up this morning of Senator Garda Hearn in Tipperary ripping up pieces of paper saying what the Fine Gael party had decreased in the last 10 budgets, and they're already trying to claim the USE cut, when Michael McGrath and Fianna Fáil will say, well, you know, this is actually what we've deducted in the for the first time since the Fianna Fáil minister has come in. So, you know, I think in the coming weeks there's going to be a lot of toing and froing over who claimed what
exactly
and who got
the
across
same
the line.
Social media campaign last year. I remember last Budget Day, Fianna Gael were out at the Dáil again with a similar strategy. And where are they now?
Tom, can I talk to you about the quick fixes, the one-off payments that we know we're going to see again? Energy credit is just one example of that. We have them across social welfare and various other payments as well. Is there long-term planning in there? Because you could look at those with a cynic's eye and go, that's just purely political.
You certainly could. And I'd say that certainly the opposition will be trying to position things as that. But you do look at the 6 billion euro rainy day fund, and you do look at the 3 billion in investment in climate and nature, and you'd have to say that is long-term planning. I mean, we're always going on about how are the Nordics so successful? How do they have this incredible standard of living?
It's because they have the pots of money.
They have the pots of money and they invest it broadly and diversely. Like, they are the ones, it's interesting, like a lot of these wind energy projects that are being built in Ireland, they're being funded out of the Nordics because they can see we can make money here. You know, it should be, you'd love to see the position where Ireland got into a position where it was investing overseas and it was diversifying and it was preparing itself for the future and preparing itself for a future which, you know, if we ever see the multinational tide go out, which would not be impossible. I mean, I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, but in, you know, 10, 15 years, 20 years time, we don't know what Ireland is going to look like. And if we haven't diversified, we're going to be in big trouble. So it is good to see that.
So you, but, you are you saying they're doing both? Because I just saw a report this morning that carers will get a 400 euro lump sum, which is great when you get the lump sum. But what does the carer do in 12 months when they can't afford to put the heating on 24/7 because that's what the person they're caring for needs?
I know that's the thing. Like they're on the one, the small amounts today, which are going to, people aren't going to feel is enough, whether that's the landlords or whether that's the carers or whoever it might be. And then this, these large sums, which are going to be deployed over a number of years, which you're not going to feel the benefit of that, you know, given some of the issues with Irish planning and other issues, you're not going to see the benefit for years to come. So that's the big, big political challenge in this, is how do they articulate that to the public and convince them that for all of the good that is in this budget, that like that it's enough? Because like there's an awful lot of small things rather than a couple of big ones.
Well, Gary thinks it won't be enough and that message won't fly.
Well, it's hard to disagree with Gary, because like what you really, you know, what would get them back into power would be 100,000 homes were available in the morning. And that isn't happening.
And I think on housing, I mean, and if Dara O'Brien was here, I'm sure he would be defending a strategy. Of course he would, which is seeing some gains in terms of house building, but at a relatively low rate, and also not at a quick enough rate to house the people who need to be housed. And the homeless figures are incredibly grim and incredibly stable, are going up, and this has been happening for years. And then you look at a budget to say, you know, what can be done, and we see a little bit of incrementalism here and there. And like I was listening to Oliver, I think you, at the best you might get 1,000 euros over the year, which equates to 20 euros a week, something like that.
Yeah, about 18 or so, yeah.
Is that really going to make a huge difference in anyone's life, any voter's life? So this is the challenge, I think, that Minister McGrath, Minister Donoghue face.
We are going to leave it there. Thank you all very much for coming in. Special budget coverage starts here on RT1 at 1:15 today with Brian Dobson, and of course tomorrow on the show after the budget at 10 o'clock I'll have both of the key ministers, Michael McGrath and Pascal Donoghue, with me here live in the studio, and they'll be taking your calls. So if you want to speak directly to the minister, we ministers involved, we have a full hour of questioning on offer for you. And if you've anything you want to raise with them, do get in touch with us. todaycb@rte.ie is the email address that you need. Coming up, we're moving on to talk about something completely different. Aches, pains, pops, creaks, crunchy knees. That's after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.